I know what some of you are thinking. I just whispered to Paul a moment ago. I said a lot of people here are actually wondering how I'm going to preach the sermon and finish on time, given that you know how long this can sometimes go. Let me assure you that we have reorganized the program to accommodate for what's actually happening today. In fact, I actually emailed Paul on the weekend. I actually said, do I need to preach this Sunday? And Paul actually said, look, it'd be good to actually have a portion where we come and we sit under the Word. So that's what we're going to do. Let me pray for us. Father, I want to ask that as we open up the Bible this morning, that you might continue to speak to us. We thank you that you speak to us not just through the songs we sing. We thank you that you speak to us as well through the words of people who share their lives with us. And we thank you for our brother Dan, how you have worked in his life and the way his music and his testimony has blessed and challenged and encouraged us. And we just want to ask right now, as we spend a bit of time opening up the Bible, as we look at this passage, that you might speak to us as well, so that more and more we might come to love the Lord Jesus, love each other, and love our city and our world. And we ask this in his name. Amen. There is an outline there in front of you. We're gonna spend about 15 minutes looking at this, and it's a good time to do this because it's a great passage because it's gonna prepare us for the year ahead. A lot of you are aware, if you're a regular Grace Point, February is the month where we start our community groups. If you're not part of a community group and you're here for the first time, really our community groups is where we gather, not on Sunday, but in small groups around the Bible, because we want to learn what it means to be disciples of Jesus. And it's all, community groups are also for people who are seeking, who are trying to find out a bit more about Jesus. And so if you're a seeker, it's a great place to actually come, because that's where you meet people who are followers of Jesus, and you learn what a difference he's made in their lives. And so that's what we're doing in community groups. It's starting this month. Sign up. There is a link at the back of the order of service that will give you a bit more idea how you can sign up as well. Do that. And what we're going to do is we're coming back to 1 Peter. Those of you who are regulars at Grace Point will know that we've taken a break from 1 Peter over the summer, but we are coming back over the next 2 months. And the reason why I say it's a great passage to kick off the year is because this passage actually helps us understand what it means for us to be a church community. What it means for us to be a gathering of people who come each Sunday, who meet in our small groups, and if you're in youth ministry, who meet in our youth ministry, in our extreme groups. Because this passage tells us something about who we are and what God has called us to do. Okay? And the first thing I want us to understand really quickly, the PowerPoint's not working. No? Yes? Why is it doing that? The first thing I want to do this morning is to say to you that this passage is really about God's great building project. The house that God is building in our world and in our city. You know, a lot of us, we often wonder what God is doing in our world. And some of us, we tend to look around to see what God is doing. We're looking for places where he's working. Yet when you turn to the scriptures in a passage like this, you discover it actually tells us what God is doing, where he's working, and how we can be a part of his work. And you discover it's a picture of the house that God is building in our city, in cities across our world. And he tells us how we can be involved and how we are involved. And the first thing I want to say to you, if you look at verse 4, you notice that he tells us that at the center of God's building project is the Lord Jesus. And so have a look with me at verse 4. There he says, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, notice, are being built into a spiritual house. Now notice who's at the center of a church community. The gathering, whether it's small group, whether it's extreme youth group, whether it's Sunday school class, whether it's the Sunday gathering, it's the Lord Jesus, the living stone. You heard Ivan read for us, as you go on to verse 6, verse 7, we're told that he is the cornerstone or the foundation stone of the gathering. Jesus is the one who holds his people together, the building God is building. He's the living stone. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, which we look at, let me remind you, actually reminds us, this is the reason why Peter is filled with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he praising God? Because God in his great mercy has given us, notice what, new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so, you know, Peter actually praises God because of everything God has done for us in the Lord Jesus. He's given us new birth, new life into a living hope, true, notice those words, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, I don't know whether you've realized this, but we've said it a few times at Grace Point, That's the logic of the good news of the Lord Jesus. This is the logic of the good news according to Peter. Jesus, by his resurrection, has demonstrated his rule over death itself. And death is the one power that holds everyone captive, every city, every nation, every group. Death is a reminder to us, really, of how broken our world is. And it's a reminder to us that something is wrong. And that's why we grieve over death. That's why we rage against death. That's why we mourn over death. And it's a reminder to us that we are broken and we need saving. We need rescue. We need hope. And the good news is that someone has come to deal with death. Someone has come to exercise his power over death. It stands to reason that if you have power over death, you have power over life. You control and rule over life. And Peter says, because of Jesus, death will never be the last word in your life or my life, if you're a disciple of Jesus. Death will never be the final word. And so he says to us right at the start, 1 Peter 1:4, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, he's given us a new birth. He's given us life through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. See, Jesus changes everything, doesn't he? He transforms everything. And because of that, it shouldn't surprise us that he calls Jesus the living stone, the one who brings and gives life. Now, because Jesus is at the center of God's building project, what does that mean for us at Grace Point? It means that we gather around him. We are to build our community around him. He is the source of our life, our strength. He is who empowers us and leads us and shapes our choices and decisions in life. Notice the trajectory of God's building project as you come to him. You see there in that verse? As you come to him, verse 4, as you continue tasting his goodness. It's not like you come to Jesus once and then that's it. No, the idea there is that you continue coming to him. And Peter has already made that clear in the first two verses. You see the two verses before verse 4? He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And how do you do that? Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, he says, continue to keep drinking and eating at his table. And that's why verse 4 actually says, as you come to him. Peter expects us to keep coming back to Jesus as a church community. And that's why I said and I shared, you know, yesterday we had a community group leaders meeting where we gathered all our community group leaders across Grace Point. And I wrote this in the pastoral note, which is a new pastoral note this week. Because one of the questions I often get asked at Grace Point is, what is our direction this year? Are we doing anything new this year? And sometimes I'm so tempted to say, no, we're not doing anything new. We're doing the same thing. In fact, we've been doing the same thing for 15 years. And we should be doing the same thing. You know why? Because God's purpose for us, God's direction in our lives has been unchanged for the last 2,000 years. The direction he set for us is not that we do something new, but that we actually anchor and grow in what we already have and what we already know. That we grow deep roots in Jesus. That we build our community around him and keep growing deeper roots in him. And so you read Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7, right? Notice what he says. So then, just as you have received Jesus, continue. Keep going. Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's the trajectory of growth. That's what we should be doing every year. But notice what Peter goes on to say. The house God is building has Jesus at the center. He's the foundation stone. He's the cornerstone. But notice you have a part. You are part of God's great building project. Jesus is the living stone. And he gathers you as living stones to be a spiritual house. You have a part. That's what God is doing in our world, in our city. Notice how the Christian life and journey is described. It's not a solitary life. It's not a solo adventure. It's a life in community with others. He brings us together. He saves us to be part of his community. He's taking you and making you part of a community of living stones. And so that actually tells us that Christian life is not an individual journey. A lot of you are familiar with Ephesians 2, right? We tend to focus on Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that's true. And then we personalize it. We think that's the end of the Christian life. But you know what? When you go on to Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22, and we're not doing it this morning, you begin to discover that God has saved us as individuals so that we may be part of a new community called the church with Jesus at the center, where God dwells in that community. See, church from God's perspective is God's people gathered around the Lord Jesus. That's where God is building his house. Where God's people gather around the Lord Jesus, there God is at work building his house. That's church. It doesn't end with your personal salvation. It says, as you come to Jesus, you also, like living stones, are being built together into a spiritual house. It's an ongoing work. Has it ever occurred to you, for a lot of you here, you're trying to work out what God is doing in the world and how you can be involved in his work? Has it ever occurred to you that he's at work in your life and in the lives of the people around you that you gather with each week around his word? You want to be involved in God's work? It takes place right here where God is gathering his people. In your community group, in your Sunday school class, in your extreme youth group, in our Sunday meetings. That's what God is doing. That's what he's seeking to do. A house that is growing and expanding and invading our neighborhoods, our city, our workplaces, our culture. To be a new city within a city. To be a new culture within culture, to be a nation within our nation, to be a home within the homes around us. That's what God is doing. And it's expanding. It's meant to be expanding and growing and including more and more people. And that's the reason why Compassion, one of the things about Compassion, that's why we partner with Compassion, is because in a place like Sumba, we're partnering with the local church. They're the hands and feet of Jesus in that community. As God is gathering, because God is gathering through those churches, children and their families from those communities, so that there God will build his church. That's what God is doing. That's how he's working in those communities. That's why we partner with the local church. And so a passion for evangelism and a passion for ministry without a commitment to God's people is a problem, isn't it? Because it's not part of God's plan or God's agenda. A passion to study the Bible. Sometimes we can be passionate about studying the Bible, but a passion to study the Bible, to grow in his word without being church with others is not part of God's plan. It's not part of God's agenda. See, God's agenda is that he's gathering people around Jesus in our city and the cities across our world. And that's how we get involved in his work. Notice he goes on. Notice what else Peter says about the house God is building. Notice it's a spiritual house. That is what? A holy priesthood. A people who are set apart. And notice what they're doing. They're serving God. They're worshiping him. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, chosen by God, precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. What does that look like? To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. The house is made up of living stones who are serving God in worship, who are worshiping him, offering him sacrifices. That's what it's doing. Now, a priest is someone who's set apart to serve God. And so here's a little bit of background. In the Old Testament, this is what would happen. If you were an Old Testament worshiper, you rock up on a Sunday morning, not that they did it on Sunday morning, but you would rock up for worship and you would bring an animal sacrifice. So you would bring your cattle, your sheep, make for an interesting Sunday morning, you know, coming here, everyone's got their doves, their sheep, their cattle, a bit noisy, a bit dirty as well. But what you would do is you would bring an animal for sacrifice. And what the Old Testament worshiper would do was they would gather and then they would hand over the sheep or the cattle to the priest. And what the priest would do is he would then slaughter that animal that you brought as a sacrifice. Now, why did he do that? Because you can't worship God because of your sin. You can't worship him because everything in your life is marked by idolatry and sin and unfaithfulness, your brokenness. It pollutes your offerings, your praise, your serving God. There can be no pleasing God. There can be no acceptable worship. And so a sacrifice is made to pay for your sin. And it goes to a priest. And so without this sacrifice, your worship is not acceptable. Your service is not acceptable. But notice here, you are making a priest, you are a priest who now makes a sacrifice for your sin, but notice who now pays for it in those verses. There is no priest because you are the priest. There is no sacrifice because Jesus has made the sacrifice. And that's why your worship's acceptable. That's why Jesus died. He is the sacrifice for us once for all. Peter is saying to us that we now worship and we now serve through the Lord Jesus. That's why he accepts us. And so he says, you and I, we're a community of priests brought together to serve and worship God through the cross, through the work of Jesus, through the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus sprinkled on us that makes us clean. That's why when we praise, God listens. That's why when we pray, he listens. That's why when we serve him, he listens. And so even in all our brokenness, even in our mixed motivations, even in our misplaced intentions, even in our half-heartedness, even in our sinfulness and fallenness, as we serve and worship God, he accepts our worship because Jesus paid for it. That's why you read in Hebrews 13, verse 5, through Jesus, therefore, let us, notice, continue. It's ongoing. That's how we're called to live the Christian life. Let us continue to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Right? Serving him, worshiping him, the fruit of lips that confess his name. That's what we're called to do as living stones. Now, come down to verse 9 or verse 10, because in verse 9 to verse 10, we have a picture, a summary picture of what worship looks like. And as you come to verse 9 or verse 10, Peter unpacks for us what worship looks like. This is the ultimate goal of God's great building project. This is why we exist as a church community, in small groups, in large groups. What does it look like? Look at verse 9, verse 10. Your chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That means you stand out, you set apart God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Notice how worship is described. Notice how a priest in the New Testament, people like us, offer a spiritual sacrifice to God in praise. It's described in terms of declaring the praises of him. His greatness, his goodness, making that known. And so verse 9, verse 10 really is a summary of what the church should be on about, where it's leading, where it's going. He's gathered you around Jesus so that now you might be a community that makes known God's greatness and God's goodness. What you have tasted and enjoyed, make it known. What you have tasted and enjoyed, share with others. That's what he's calling us to. He saves us so that we might taste and enjoy his greatness and goodness, and so that we might also then praise him before a watching world. Now, I'm going to unpack that in the next few weeks, because one of the really interesting things is that the declaration of praise, as Peter will go on to show us, is not just verbal, but it's also lived. And so we're not just called to speak of his greatness and goodness. Peter will go on to say it's actually lived out. It's unpacked in the way we do life. See? And so it's not just me talking about Jesus. It's also being his hands and feet in our world. Going and making a difference in places of brokenness. Being his witness in the workplace. Standing for him in the universities and the schools. And he'll go on to unpack that, doing family differently. Doing relationships differently. And he will go on to talk about that. And so he calls us to declare the praises of God. His greatness and his goodness. That's why if you turn to the front of our order of services, you'll notice our vision at Grace Point. And it's not just a pithy statement that we thought, it'd be nice to stick on the front of the order of services. That's why our vision here at Grace Point is to be a people who are what? Notice at the front. We want to be a people who are loving Jesus, loving each other, and loving our sinning world. That's like a summary of what we read here. Jesus is the cornerstone, the source, the foundation. He's the person whom we anchor in, draw our strength from. He leads us. He guides us. We gather around him. We want to grow deep roots in him. And as we do that as individuals, we come to do it as a community as well. He gathers us with others. And so we're called to love each other around the Lord Jesus, walking with others around the Lord Jesus. And as we do that, we're called to be a people who love our city and our world, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Making known his greatness and goodness, not just in our city, but in Brisbane. You know, in a couple of weeks, Mikey's going to launch Providence Church in Brisbane. Some of you are aware of that, and we're going to be praying for that. And it's so exciting being part of our partnership with Mikey. And as we seek to declare the praises of him, his greatness and goodness, we seek to do it also through our partnership with other groups like Compassion, Because we want those churches in Sumba to declare the praises of Him who called them out of darkness into His wonderful light. And they're doing it in partnership with Compassion, being the hands and feet of Jesus in those communities. They're being witnesses there, and we're partnering with them. And that's what it means to be a worshiping community, a church, in line with God's agenda, in line with God's purposes. That's a picture of what God is doing, what He calls us to, and what He seeks to do through us, and why He's gathered us, to love Jesus, to love each other, and to love our city and our world. Here are a few things, right? Number one, I want to say to you this morning, the church is not a building or location, right? The church is not defined by physical walls. Four walls don't define and have never defined us as a church community. That's been our history at Grace Point. We've moved so many times. I'm just waiting for the next move. All right, God is present with us by His Spirit where His people gather, and we're gathered here. The church is where God's people gather around His Son. That's number one. Number two, the church is not about you or me, your needs, my wants, my interests, my culture, my preferences. We are not at the center of the church that God is building. We are merely bystanders to His grace. He invites us to join with Him in what He's doing in our world. He invites us to partner with Him. And you know what? We are so blessed because as He invites us to partner with Him, He brings us blessing in making us His possessions, His people, His sons, His daughters. Church is not about you or me. The church, number three, is a gathering of God's people built around Jesus, the living stone. And as we embark on ministry this year, it's good to remember that. We gather around Jesus. He unites us. He's the foundation stone. We are to immerse in Him, grow deep roots in Him. He's the table where we're called to find our strength and security. He's the foundation. Which means that, you know, as you gather each Sunday, even in your community groups, you know, your leaders and your pastors, don't depend on them. Don't depend on them to feed you, to give you security, to help you along the way in the Christian life. They're there to help you, but they are not the source. They are not the giver of life. Jesus is. Anchor in Him. Look to Him. Find your strength in Him. Number four, the church is a gathering of God's people who are set apart to serve and worship God in His greatness. Notice, before a watching world. That's why the church has no walls. Right? We're not confined by four walls. We are the church gathered on Sunday, on Friday, on Sunday afternoons, on weeknights when you meet in your small groups. But we are also the church scattered when you're at work, when you're at uni, when you're at school, when you're at home, when you're at mother's group, when you're involved in the community. You're also the church scattered, called to declare, make known, not just with your lips, but with your hands and feet, His greatness and goodness before a watching world. Now, Peter says that's why we exist. And so the words of the Psalms echo this in Psalm 96, where we're called to declare His glory, declare His greatness and goodness among the nations, His marvelous deeds among His people, all people. Because as you have tasted that He is good, make that known where He's placed you. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning, we thank You for blessing us, for encouraging us and strengthening us. Continue to do so that we might live as Your holy priesthood, Your people in a world that desperately needs You. This morning, we pray as we sing our next song, as we close our time together. Continue as well as a church community. Help us to grow deep roots in Jesus, our cornerstone, not just personally, but corporately as a family as well. And we pray and ask these things for the praise of Jesus and our everlasting joy in Him. Amen.